silence of the night comes the whispering voice of the night wind to tell another story of man's battle with fate. A true story tonight of an aging woman and the amazing crime she committed for no other reason than to hold her lover and to ensure security in the twilight of her life. Unbelievable, but true. Night wind, and this is the tale I tell. In the year 1876, there was formed in Paris one of those liaisons which, though inexplicable by Anglo-Saxon standards, seem nevertheless to be an integral part of French life. On the one hand, there was a well-known demi-mondaine, Jeanne Delacour, still beautiful at 40, and on the other, there was wealthy, handsome young Georges de Saint-Pierre, an orphan, aged 20. Georges' friends accepted the situation readily enough, but it was a source of constant worry to his aunt, who had cared for him since childhood.
I realize, of course, Georges, that these things do happen. But if only this woman and you were more of an age.
Oh, what's that got to do with it?
Surely there are plenty of young women more attractive.
I've yet to find them.
You can't really be in love with someone old enough to be your mother.
Oh, please stop harping on the question of age. It's quite immaterial. Jeanne and I do love each other, strange as it may seem, and that's all there is to it.
You spend a lot of money on her, I suppose.
No more than I would on anyone else. But if you're suggesting it's only my money she's after, you're quite wrong. Jeanne's not like that at all.
George, you're not contemplating marrying this woman, are you?
Well, no, I hadn't thought of it before.
Hasn't she ever suggested it?
Never. Not that it mightn't be a very good idea.
Oh, please, George. For my sake and the sake of your family, name not that.
Don't you worry, Aunt. I was only joking. It'll never come to that. Even if I did want it, I'm quite certain Jeanne wouldn't agree for a minute.
But George was wrong. Even as he was reassuring his aunt, exactly the same topic, but from a slightly different angle, was being discussed in her apartment by Jeanne Delacour and her sister, Louise.
Of course, Louise, I'm doing well enough as I am, I know. I'm very fond of Georges, and he's very kind to me.
And generous. Don't forget that.
Oh, yes, he's generous enough. Have I ever denied it? But...
But what?
Well, it's just that it can't last.
You'd hardly expect it to, would you? You being 40 and him no more than half your age.
That's the whole thing. I'm getting old, Louise. I won't be beautiful much longer. And what then? What usually happens to women like myself when they're no longer attractive to men?
You could persuade George to marry you, of course. Is there much chance of that?
What would you think? He's 20, rich, of good family. I'm 40, poor, a nobody.
But he loves you, doesn't he?
It would take more than love, Louise. It would take a miracle.
If only there were some way to make him absolutely and entirely dependent on you. If he were ill, for instance, and you could nurse him.
Oh, Georges has never had a day's sickness. He's the most completely healthy person I've ever known.
Well, if something terrible were to happen to him, some frightful accident...
You're talking nonsense, Louise. Things like that only happen in novels.
Then I don't see any way out.
There isn't any. Oh, now let's forget about it and change the subject. I'm sorry I burdened you with it in the first place.
But it was a subject Jeanne Delacour couldn't forget, for it meant so much to her future life. Then one day, she saw a friend of hers, a former ballet dancer.
Why, Christine, how lovely you look. And is that a wedding ring you're wearing?
Oh, yes, dear, didn't you know? I was married last week.
How exciting. Who to?
Louis Auvergne.
Not the Auvergne?
Yes. Oh, you must remember him. He's the blind one.
Oh, Christine, how terrible.
I don't think so. Because he's blind, other women wouldn't have him. But I don't mind. You see, I can look after him. It makes an extra bond between us.
But he's so much younger than you, isn't he?
That doesn't matter either, because he'll never see me grow old.
That's right. He'll never see you grow old.
And so, in the mind of Jeanne Delacour, was born and grew a desperate thought. For months, she resolutely pushed it aside. But inevitably, it came back. And then one day, she met an old sweetheart, Nathalie Gaudry, a weak, unscrupulous fellow who promptly fell in love with her all over again. For a time, she refused his pleas that they should renew their old relationship, until at last...
Please be kind to me, Jeanne. I can't eat, I can't sleep for thinking of you. I've never been through such a torment.
Do you really love me so much, Natalie?
How can you ask that? Can't you see I'm mad about you?
Would you prove your love by doing something for me?
Anything at all. Just put me to the test.
All right, I will. I've been cruelly treated and defrauded by a man. I'm determined to have my revenge on him.
Tell me who he is. I'll thresh the swine till he begs for mercy.
No, I must have something more subtle than that. I want to strike at him through someone he loves.
Who?
His only son, the idol of his life. I'd like to maim or injure him in some way so that his appearance would be a perpetual reminder to the old man of his own evil ways.
Perhaps I could slice off his ear.
Oh, no, no. I have it. Vitriol. Throw vitriol in his face. Burn him, blind him.
You're not suggesting I should do a thing like that, are you?
You said you loved me. You volunteer to do anything at all.
But I had no idea. Oh, no, I couldn't do it, John.
I always knew you were a coward at heart. Goodbye, Natalie. I wouldn't bother calling again if I were you, because you won't find me at home.
You really mean that, don't you?
Of course I mean it.
And if I do as you ask...
You won't find me unkind.
You're a devil, Jeanne. Tell me the name of the man.
So the diabolical plot was hatched. On the evening of January the 13th, 1877, an unlucky day indeed for Georges de Saint-Pierre, he and Jeanne attended a masked ball at the opera. About 3 o'clock in the morning, a cab brought them home. As they walked toward the front door, Jeanne dropped back, and a sinister figure emerged from the shadows.
Monsieur de Saint-Pierre?
Yes? Who are you? What do you want with me at this hour?
I have a gift for you, monsieur.
Take it!
Jeanne! Jeanne!
Darling, what's happened?
My eyes! Oh, my eyes!
Jeanne Delacour had planned well. Her lover had lost the sight of one eye, and that of the other was threatened. His face was horribly disfigured. Through the long weeks while he lay swathed in bandages, she was in constant attendance, nursing and caring for him, anticipating his every wish. No wife could have been more loving or more tender. And Georges' gratitude was almost pathetic. On only one point was she firm. During his convalescence, he was to have no visitors. Not even his own relatives.
That's ridiculous. I've a right to see him. I'm his aunt. I've brought him up since he was a child.
I'm sorry, madame. The doctor's explicit order is that Georges is not to be disturbed by callers. Moreover, he has no wish to see you.
I don't believe that.
You may believe it or not as you wish. Fact remains that you cannot see him.
Very well. I shall apply to the court for an order of access.
You'll be wasting your time. Georges is almost fit to travel now. And in a few days, we're leaving for Italy.
What are you doing to my nephew?
What do you mean?
You've managed to get him completely in your hands at last, haven't you?
I'm caring for him, if that's what you mean. Good day, madame. I must return to my patient.
But Jeanne Delacour was not to enjoy her triumph for long. Her suspicions aroused, the aunt went to the police. Then Nathalie Gaudry came into the picture again. He had committed a serious crime for Jeanne's sake, and so far there'd been no payoff. It was not exactly his idea of a good bargain.
I've done your bidding. Now I want my reward.
Suppose I refuse?
Why, you little cheat! So you tricked me, eh?
What are you going to do about it? Go to the police and say I flung vitriol into a man's face because a woman asked me to? Confession might be good for the soul, Natalie. But I'm sure you wouldn't want to spend the rest of your life in jail.
By heaven, I ought to...
Violence won't help you either. Don't you think you'd better just write the whole affair off to experience and let it go at that?
Why did you make me do it, Jeanne? You lied to me with that story about revenge, too, didn't you? You're nursing the young de Saint-Pierre now, here in your home, aren't you?
Yes. You see, he's dependent on me now. We're going away together soon, and then we're to be married.
So that's it! You deliberately maimed the poor fellow to get him in your power.
Not I, Natalie. You. Clever of me, wasn't it?
Not quite clever enough, mademoiselle.
Who are you? Where did you come from?
My name is Mace, the Paris Sûreté. I've been behind the curtain in that alcove for the last couple of hours.
I don't understand.
Yes, we've been interested in the case of Georges de Saint-Pierre for some days, mademoiselle. We thought that if we watched you closely enough, we'd learn the truth sooner or later. It seems we were right.
I can explain everything.
You'll have your chance before the judge. I wouldn't try to escape, monsieur. This pistol is loaded.
In court, the two accused tried desperately to throw on each other the guilt of the crime. But when the true facts came out, it was obvious to the judge who was the more guilty. For her diabolical deed, Jeanne Delacour was sentenced to 15 years imprisonment. Gaudry, as her dupe, escaped with 5. A fair enough assessment in the circumstances. And that is the strange story of Jeanne Delacour. Unbelievable, but true.